Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Election was amazing. Thanks. It's an honor and a privilege to be standing behind this pulpit. And in amongst friends and brothers and sisters, and I'm going to put my glasses on now so I can see. They get in the way in worship. I keep having white tears out of my eyes, and them glasses just don't jive with that. But, praise the Lord. For those of you that don't know, I'll just start out with what I do. I work for the Highway Department of Transportation. I started out in Dutton, Alabama, transferred down to Rainbow City. So I've got a little commute every day, and it's awesome because I have time to pray and dodge animals, but pray mostly and just meditate on the Lord, and I enjoy that time. And one thing that we do at the Department of Transportation is fix the roads. That's the main objective. I work in the maintenance department, which actually repairs the potholes and actually repairs the shoulders. Sometimes they wear out. And we get trees out of the road. We get animals out of the road. Anything that's going to cause some sort of unsafe driving condition. That's what we do. We maintain the drainage fixtures and everything that goes on with that, vegetation control. And but one thing that I did before I did that was actually build the road. And what I want to do tonight is talk about rebuilding a road. And, you know, there's a lot that goes on with that. But I want to start off because there's a few things you have to do when you're going to build a road. Is that if you want to avoid potholes and erosion, you have to start out with a good foundation, a good bed, and it has to be hard surface. It has to be compacted so it doesn't move, and it needs to be moisture free so it don't freeze. And so there's a lot more that goes into it, but I learned all that before I got to the Department of Transportation. But let's look at Isaiah 57 and 14. I think she has that pulled up here. And it just simply says, if you can read along with me, God says, "Rebuild the road!" Exclamation mark. Clear away the rocks and stones so many people can return from captivity. And on this road of faith, if we will, we're going to kind of turn the gears and shift this from literal road, building a road of transportation, to a road of faith. And there's some things a person has to do to build their faith. And, you know, what's the first thing you think of when you think of a road, building a road? Huh? Pavement. Work. How many people have gotten out on the road and the first thing you hit is a construction zone? They're out there in the way, man. They're out there working on the roads. I'm trying to get, my daughter just took a road trip to Mobile, South Mobile County. It's Dauphin Island. Have y'all ever been to Dauphin Island or heard of Dauphin Island? I was a local there. I did everything from skimboarding to surfing to diving and boating. Anyway, she went down and stayed with her grandmother. And I said, "Baby, and if you are going to make a big long trip in Alabama, go to algo.com. You can see any construction zone in the state of Alabama." I said, there's multiple construction zones between here and there. That's a 6-hour trip from the north part to the south part of the state. And some of the signs that you might have seen is pardon our progress. Workers on the road, you know. I've seen some funny ones that I won't repeat, but because these message boards, you can program them and put anything on them. And one time we were working, and I programmed it to say, whoever that was I was working with is the boss. And it was just a funny thing to do. But anyway, when you think of work, and while I'm talking about work, I want to encourage each and every one of you here on Wednesday night. Most every one of you that I can scan across this, you're working in faith. Everything around here that we see is contributing to building our faith and development and discipleship. And I applaud you and I encourage you. And I want to read a scripture or two from the Bible here just for, because we got a few laborers in the house, don't we? Got a few workers in the house sometimes is what it's like. Few laborers in the house. And in Hebrews 6 and 10, for God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him. You hear me? And how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers, as you still do. He will not forget that. That's a promise. The laborers that you do are not in vain. They will not be forgotten. And so we got to start out with faith first. Believe that God is and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. That is the measure of faith that God gives every person. And I'm going to be reading a few of these scriptures. It takes a little bit of time. But I'm going to turn to 2 Timothy 2:15. How many of y'all using YouVersion today? In case you're wondering, I'm not texting anybody here. I'm reading God's text to me, and I'm sharing it with you. And I use that through YouVersion. 2 Timothy 2:15 also says, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker. One who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. So continue working. Continue striving and continue sowing the seeds. Continue watering the seeds. Continue on and press on. Keep praying. Keep on doing those things. For it is not in vain and he sees it. Faith, Romans 10. Romans 10, 17, we're talking about faith. If we're gonna build a road of faith, Romans 10 and 17. So faith comes from hearing. That is hearing the good news about Christ and the word of God. That's the sole, one of the main ways that you can build faith is through the word of God. And I'm talking to people that are rooted and grounded in the love of God, okay? But we cannot get enough of God's word. Because when we gather here in this place, it's a whole different level of faith, because we are all of the same faith. And we can worship together, we can fellowship together, because we are of one mind and one accord. But what we have to do is not let this world, when we go out and make our 20 or 30 phone calls in the day, and when we, you know, go to our everyday work, that's our mission field. That's where our faith cannot be overcome with evil, but we must overcome evil with good, with godliness, with faith. And that faith comes by the word of God. And like I mentioned beforehand, Everything that is here that we see is contributing to our faith. And so one other thing that we have to always remember, and I'm sure no one here has forgot that, is that God is a spirit. God is the spirit. He is the one and only spirit. And yes, it is probably one of my favorite scriptures is John 4:23. Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is an asterisk. I have this up here. Well, I don't. John 4:23 said, "But the time is coming, indeed is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way." And then 24, "For God is spirit. So those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." God is spirit. Everything, it is impossible to know God and fellowship with God without spiritual practices. Well, what do you mean? Reading God's word increases our faith. Reading God's word is a spiritual book. It is God's text, okay? When we text, God made this text. It's so amazing. He made this text so many years ago. And it's just amazing how many years have passed and what's taken place from the time that the tablets were fired upon, you know, by God's finger. And on Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments were written. And then how, it's just amazing to know that all of this has been passed down for us today. And it's in text. And everybody texts nowadays. I remember when I first started texting, I couldn't hardly spell, man. I was like, how am I going to even do this? And punctuation, you can forget that. I'm just trying to spell the word right, you know. But I learned the more that I text, I begin to remember a little bit of grammar. My wife may contend that, but that's right. Spell check is handy, ain't it, brother? But it's been handed down in text form for us to read. And but God is spirit. And so the first thing that we can do is look into God's word to receive spiritual growth, development, discipleship, and rebuke. You know what I mean? That's a critical part of that transformation that has to take place. Is rebuke is part of that, but also praise and worship. You know, I remember bringing one of my childhood best friends. Now I guess Patrick. He was unchurched. He was a drug dealer. He was into all kind of things, but I was drawn to him, and we just bonded as friends. There were times when we couldn't hang out because he had other friends to hang out with. But you know what? The Lord uses him now, and he's a pastor of a church, and it's an amazing testimony. But when he first started coming to church, I went to Parkway Church of God way back in the day on Dolphin Island Parkway. Man, they worship in the spirit. And to simply see somebody raising their hands with their eyes closed, I didn't realize it because I grew up around it. But Patrick said, man, that's weird. What are they even doing? I said, man, you have to know God. God is spirit. And that's a critical component, is worshiping and praising him. And that's what we do, not only here collectively in song, but that's what we do every morning when we get up and we have our devotion and we speak to the Lord. He speaks to us through his text, his holy text. And we meditate and we pray. Prayer is the other spiritual development, prayer and meditation. When I say prayer and meditation, it's not some kind of weird medication. Not some kind of weird medication or meditation, but it is our mind is focused and postured on God. We're thinking about the goodness. Not literally our ears, but our hearts are open to hear and receive spiritual guidance and a word from Him, a fresh word. And those are parts that if we're not partaking in, if we're not using, not seeking the Holy Spirit, and the fact that we are seeking the Holy Spirit, there will be evidences. And that is in Galatians 5, where it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. Okay? We will see fruits from that. When we sow into the Spirit, we will reap from the Spirit, but we will see fruit from that sowing into the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. And I left one out. Goodness. Goodness, how could I leave that out, right? I'm going to go to Jude 20 now. We were talking about prayer. Jude 20. There's one big old book there in Jude. Jude 20 says, "But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith, pray in the power of the Holy Spirit." Prayer. I mean, that's what our leader and founder, and Savior, proclaimed, that this house is going to be a house of prayer. We have got to pray, and I've so enjoyed these Tuesday night prayer meetings, even though I got too busy Tuesday night to make it here on time, But I have been here and I have enjoyed the prayer meetings that we have. And I encourage you to come here. It's different praying in a collective, but you don't have to be here. We all know that. Prayer transcends places and times. That's the beautiful thing about prayer. We're sowing in the Spirit with our brothers and sisters that may be on the other side of the world, or maybe in Tennessee somewhere. We can still pray, and I encourage you, continue to pray fervently, meaningfully. And listen, I've heard powerful prayers that are wide open for an hour. I mean, it just, the fire is about to fall down. But it's not like that all the time. Not like that for me. There's times when I'm just praying hard, I'm praying loud, and I'm sorry if that offends people, but then there's times when I'm just meditating in silence almost, in quietness, and I'm whispering to God almost with my mind and my thoughts, and He knows every one of those. Even before I speak them, He knows, and it's so, so beautiful the way that He is one with us. And I love that idea of being fused with God's Spirit. In God's text, I've already said that. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. God is Spirit. We have to be practicing spiritual. We have to be seeking the Holy Spirit. We have to be reading His book. We have to be praying. I mean, we cannot know Him if we are not practicing spiritual practices, you know? And so construction, that was my point one, construction. Think about work, think about progress, pardon our progress, construction. And I don't know if moving on to point two, I don't know if y'all have ever heard of, I've seen a lot of, deconstruction, you know, that goes on in the roads. I was part of that today. I had to tear something apart because we were changing it. We're going to make it better. We're going to deconstruct it. And that's a whole process, especially when you're renovating a whole building or something. It's like a whole new construction. But sometimes you have to deconstruct to rebuild it and put it back together. Well, there's a movement that's been going on It's called Deconstruction of Your Faith. And I've seen a couple of videos, and most of these people that are deconstructing their faith, they have become really enlightened at some point and far above faith in God. And so they intend on deconstructing what they were taught and what their parents raised them in and what they once believed in and acted. Now they see it as some kind of manipulative part of their life that they want to get free of, and they've matured and grown now, and you know, the Bible sees it as wisdom in their own eyes. They've grown wise in their own eyes, is what the Bible, that's what the Bible calls it. But they call it deconstruction of faith. And what's one thing that will deconstruct our faith? Unbelief. We're talking about faith and spirit. What's the one thing that is always, we are surrounded with it wherever you go in this world. You can't get away from it. It's flesh. You're literally surrounded with it. Y'all get that? It don't matter if you're in the shower, it don't matter if you're in the pool, swimming, you're surrounded with flesh. And this flesh that we are in is completely opposed and hostile to the Spirit of God. And so the battle has begun, okay? But take heart, because we have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that gives us victory over our flesh, subdues our flesh. And as Paul said, I bring this body under subjection to the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. But in this deconstruction of faith that people have been going through, oftentimes it's due to flesh and the pride of life. They have found a better way, a wiser way. And but we're talking about roads, and we're talking about rebuilding a road. And I love the illustration, and y'all can turn to Matthew 7 and 14. I love the illustration that Pastor used the other day about the narrow gate, and how when the shepherd would gather them inside of this pen, basically, for the night, there was one way in and one way out, and that's the only way that he protected them. They didn't jump the fence, couldn't go through the fence. The one he showed was like a Stonehenge gate. It was a big old rock fence is what it was, and you can see those some places around North Alabama, a rock fence. That's where they just gather the rocks around and stack them up, and you've got a wall called a fence. And the shepherd would gather them in there, and there was one gate in and one gate out, and that's how he protected them. In Matthew 7, starting at 13, how many's there? The narrow gate. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway, there's a highway to hell, is broad, and its gate is wide for many who choose that way. For there are many who choose that way. So there's a highway to hell. That was a song once, wasn't it? Isn't it crazy? They made a song like that. I think I remember that Black Sabbath. Anyway, I'm not promoting them. That just kind of reminded me of that. We're talking about roads and pathways and gates and highways. And so the gate is narrow. And let's go to Romans 8, if you will. Romans 8. Romans 8, 5 through 9. And this is a critical part of how deconstruction begins, is when we take our eyes and we stop our practice of spiritual growth and praise and worship. And oftentimes when we, I mean, it's not necessarily true, but when we stop coming to prayer meetings and stop coming to church, but not always, because the ones I've saw, they were raised in church and they were singing on the platform, and now all of a sudden they've made a change, and this might have something to do with it. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. I know that that's bizarre, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. And it never did obey God's laws, and it never will obey God's laws. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him. So it starts in the mind, this deconstruction of faith. And isn't that just exactly what Scripture says? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So our minds is what we have to really guard and protect about. And that's the good thing about God's Word. Intellectually, you know, God's Word guides us in our intellect, in our thoughts, in our reasoning. And a lot of times in the videos I've seen, they've just like gone into another echelon of wisdom, so far above faith. And this pride of life seems to have attacked their mind. And that is exactly the Word of God, is what He's saying. And that's exactly how the writer is speaking it out, you know. Those who mind sinful thoughts in the flesh, they're going to do bad things. They're going to do sinful things. And so it is just a natural thing. When we are minding the flesh, if we're thinking about bad things and thinking about sinful things and thinking about how smart we are, well, God's wisdom will be laid aside. And then on top of that, we have false religions. 2 Peter 2. Whip on over there to 2 Peter 2. Second Peter 2, 1 through 10. But there were also false prophets in Israel, just as there were false teachers among you. They will cleverly teach destructive heresies and even deny the master who brought them. In this way, they will bring sudden destruction on themselves. Many will follow their evil teaching and shameful immorality. And because of this, these teachers, the way of truth will be slandered. And their greed, they will make up clever lies to get hold of your money. But God condemned them long ago, and their destruction will not be delayed. For God did not spare even the angels who sinned. He threw them into hell in gloomy pits of darkness. And I encourage you to read through that whole entire. It's very enlightening. But the danger of false prophets. You see, we have choices to make. And we have this flesh that we're surrounded in. But then also, we have Satan, who is trying to teach us something that looks like the truth. You know, it kind of looks right, but it's not. It's a false religion. And then you have this deconstruction could be healthy. You know, I mentioned before when we have to deconstruct a road, and right out here in this intersection is a good illustration. We had to deconstruct some things in order to make an accelerator lane so that people coming off of the airport can just go. They don't have to stop. They don't have to yield. You just turn and go. You've got your own lane. Get out of the way, you know, type situation. And then they had to up and put a signal because it was a little bit of a lock that was going on. You couldn't get out because it was so busy. So deconstruction is not necessarily a bad thing, and it's necessary for finding the truth in our faith. We have to prove everything against God's word. Everything that we hear, everything that we experience, we prove that. With everything that we feel in our emotions, God, what am I dealing with here? And we go to God's word, and I guarantee you it is there. And we can find the answers to what's going on. And it is necessary to seek truth, deconstruction. Hebrews 6:1, you want to turn over there to that real quick. Hebrews 6:1 clearly tells us in the seek for truth, we're trying to perfect our faith. Will we ever attain perfection? Probably not. Not as long as we're surrounded in this flesh and wrapped in this flesh. But he says, so let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds and placing our faith in God. You don't need further instruction about baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And so, God willing, we will move forward to further understanding. And I like the King James part of it. It says, moving towards perfection. You know, it's different to move towards perfection and then just sit on where you're at in an apathetic way. You know, we want to continue to be trying to perfect our faith in everything that we do and even our thoughts. For it is impossible to bring back to repentance those who were once enlightened, those who had experienced the good things of heaven and shared in his Holy Spirit. That's a whole nother lesson. But we should continually move towards perfection. And one point that I'd like to bring up is that when we're talking about deconstruction and reconstruction and construction, it's good to deconstruct sometimes in an effort to seek truth. But deconstruction without reconstruction of the faith in Jesus only leaves destruction. And a lot of times that's what's taking place with these people that are deconstructing their faith. They're believing a counterfeit. And believe in something that is false. And you know, we have to somehow contend for the faith and be able to communicate with them in a meaningful way and to be able to reach these intellects, if you will. And I know I'm married to an intellect. She is extremely smart. But, you know, and it's a challenge. But those are people. Yeah, right. I'm still working on Marla. No, I'm just kidding. She will deconstruct me later. No, I'm just kidding. But inevitably, there will be some who depart from the faith. And that's found in 1 Timothy in 4. 1 Timothy 4 and 1. Wrap it up here. Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last days some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. This is a warning to each and every one of us. We have to reach out to our loved ones, our co-workers, whoever we're on the phone with. It is so critical that if we're worshiping the one true God in spirit, we're reading his word to find spiritual discipleship and training, wouldn't it make sense that we are led by his spirit? Even in our conversations, even in what we do at work, when we are talking to people, the way we are talking to people, doesn't it make sense that we pray to God, that we are led by his spirit? He is spirit. We must be led by his spirit. And then we come to some reconstruction. We've talked about construction, deconstructing, and now then reconstruction. And if you'll go to Revelations 2, 1 through 5, I want to read this with y'all. Hey, there's some high viz. I literally have those barrels and those signs on my crew truck. Revelations 2 and 1. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Ephesus. This is the message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know all the things you do. I have seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but are not. You have discovered they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. But I have this complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. And then verse 5, look how far you have fallen! Exclamation mark. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. He's beckoning us to return to our first love, redo our first works, and we will rebuild the road. How many of y'all do any hiking? I love hiking. I love getting out. My left knee don't like it, and it don't like me because of it. But I love getting out and hiking. And you can always kind of tell where to go, right? When you get to the trailhead, it's pretty beaten path, easy to find. And all the roots and rocks are easy to find, too. You'll fall all over them if you're not careful. But there's a path there. It's just a footpath, right? But I guess I'm one who likes to make my own path sometime. And footpaths are part of hiking, but usually they're narrow little trails in respect. And so, and they're sometimes rough, like I mentioned. There's roots and rocks. But we can think of it for a moment as a righteous road, a righteous path, because that's kind of what the Bible is teaching and showing us, that it is narrow, it is straight, and it is rough, and few that travel it. So, but then he says, the highway to hell is wide and it's smooth. And I think about the interstates that we have, and I begin to think about how you might compare the road of righteousness and faith as a little hiking trail. And it's a sad thing to think of, but the interstate, a six-lane interstate that's in L.A. or something, that's how many people are going to hell. And that's why it is so critical for us to be led by His Spirit and rebuild a road of faith and repent and teach people how to repent. My last conclusion is the word repent. And it was really interesting. I began to talk about it. It's came from a Latin word, pentanere, cause to repent, a French word, repentir, and then the Old English, we come up with repent from those two. Now, in the Greek, metaneo is the Greek word. And so before I realized it, I was thinking, man, that's what John the Baptist was shouting, metaneo! And that was not really Hebrew, was it? But actually Hebrew is right up under there if y'all are looking at it. How you say that, Marla? Teshuva. Yeah, bless you. Teshuva. So John the Baptist was saying, Teshuva! Repent. That was in Hebrew. That's what he was saying. And so we need to rebuild the road. And I think of every coworker that I work with is on a road, you know. And it's not my road that I want them on, but I want them on the road to heaven, the highway to heaven. And we have to continually show them how to rebuild their faith, rebuild the road of faith. And some things, you know, we have to undo in order to redo, just like He has called us in Revelations. I appreciate the opportunity. I hope you've picked up a few good scriptures. And let's just close out in prayer, and we can all go home. Lord, we thank You so much, God. I thank You for this opportunity to share Your word, to share Your holy text. God, thank You for the patience, God, of these people and this congregation. Lord, we love You as a body of Christ. We are Your hands and we are Your feet. We are Your eyes. We are Your arms, Your legs. Use us, God, I pray, in every day, in everything that we do, in every conversation that we have. Guide our words. God, guide our thoughts and what we're thinking about. God, let us always be thinking about You and never ceasing to pray. Lord, we love You tonight, and I pray that You go with these in safety. Watch over them, God, and I just pray that You anoint them in the name of Jesus. Amen.